So please help me welcome Carrie.
Good morning, everyone. It is so nice to be here. My name is Carrie. I am a compulsive overeater through and through. Thank you so much to Janet for inviting me to come to this meeting today, and Ethel for hosting, and Claire for timekeeping. I haven't given a long share in a while. Oftentimes when I did in the past, I had like a real plan. But this time I really decided to put this voice box in God's hands and just let higher powers try to speak through me. So I'm hopeful that I am able to deliver some message that's helpful. So one of the things that has become important for me in my recovery to sort of sort out, and I think it's important for most people, both in the beginning and as we kind of go through this program, is to sort out what abstinence means. And so for me, I got abstinent before I started coming into any rooms. And I haven't really talked about it in the past because it's sort of something that I feel a little bit ashamed about. So in the spirit of the 12 steps, I'm just going to lay my shame out here in this room. But at the time that I got abstinent, I was living with an alcoholic, and I blamed 100%, 110% of my problems on the alcoholic. The unmanageability in my life was her problem. And if she cleaned up, then my life would be better. And so in the spirit of vindictiveness, arrogance, and shame, I decided to get abstinent sort of as a weapon, that if I could stop eating the things that apparently were a problem, then why couldn't she clean up her act? I think at the time I said those things in the spirit of solidarity, that let's get abstinent. Let's together do this very hard thing. And I'll show you that I'm committed to doing a hard thing by giving up all of my favorite treats, which for the record, we'll just call them sweets. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe that that was transparently, kind of cruel and beside the point. You know, I had my own recovery that needed my full attention, but I didn't know that at the time. So and part of my point in just thinking about this today is that, you know, God, my higher power, can use anything, even my arrogance, even my cruelty, to help me get closer to higher power and to help me get better. And that is a tremendous mystery to me, how that happens. But I accept it, and I can see that it works. So I was going to like open AA meetings, and again, in the spirit of solidarity. But what the miracle, one of the many miracles was, is that I was hearing people talk about the big book. And I would sit in the back of the room and not be able to share, but I would identify with so many things. And as my abstinence wore on, again, it was this sort of abstinence of, if I can do it, why can't you? My mind kind of started to clear up, and I got to hear that message of the big book, and that surrender and powerlessness, could actually be something that could save me too. And so ultimately I started going to random OA meetings, and this was in like 2018. And the OA meetings near me were, you know, like two or three very elderly women who would read like a page out of For Today. And then we'd all just kind of sit there in grueling silence. And, you know, at some point, would look at their watch and like, well, let's go. And so that's not to say that their recovery wasn't good. It probably was. But there wasn't a lot of community and I just wasn't hearing a lot of the message. And so I just kind of limped through that part of recovery for a long time. But I was really thinking about and starting to work with a sponsor in another program. And so I was starting to do the fourth step and looking at my past. And, you know, even if trying to look at my past through the prism of another program, all I could see was just like piles and piles of food everywhere. And so it became like very clear to me that like food was the problem and that abstinence and food would need to be addressed. And so as many of you may have heard, in March 2020, there was this global pandemic that put us all inside. And so I, you know, could see, you know, my social media, the people were in their kitchens and doing a lot of eating. And I was like, uh-oh, if I don't like face this problem, like full force head on, I'm going to be in deep trouble. I can't spend this much time in proximity to my kitchen. Unless I really face what's happening here. And so I went online and on a Tuesday afternoon, I went to my first OA Footsteps meeting. It was very cool. It was wonderful to like see so many faces and be in a room of people who were really like speaking recovery and talking about the big book. And it was just, it was mind blowing because, you know, everything had been so small and private before. And so I looked on the calendar and there was a 5 a.m. meeting and I had been waking up really early. And so I thought, well, I'll just start going to the 5 a.m. meeting. It happens every day. And so I started coming to these meetings. You know, people talk about service. I was like, sure, I'll lead a meeting. I led this meeting for a year. You know, they talk about doing service. Okay, sure. I'll be, you know, the chair of OA Footsteps. And I just finished that commitment on Sunday last week. And so, you know, I also did, I was sponsored and did all the work with a big book sponsor. And so we did it, you know, in just like a few days. But I've also started sponsoring and I got a new sponsor and, you know, the project of being really in the program has sort of shown me that, again, God can work with anything. Even if I came to this with arrogance and a lot of preconceptions about how things should be, what abstinence is, if I'm willing to just hand my life over every day, then you know, my higher power will work with that. And that's, you know, in a lot of ways in contrast to, or it's the same side, or the other side of the same coin. My disease, could work with anything. And so I'll just sort of reflect on that for just a second, just to sort of, claim my seat as it were. So I grew up with, I have parents and I have step parents, all of whom, were children of alcoholism. And, while none of them were alcoholics, the family disease of addiction was sort of in our household. And so my parents, were, sort of exercise bulimics and, our whole life growing up was numbers. So my mom was obsessed with the scale. And my dad was obsessed with his marathon time. There was nothing except numbers in our house. There were numbers on the fridge. There were numbers at the dinner table. And whether or not it's true that that people were observing me and how many things I ate and counting them, I felt that they were. I felt that I was under observation. I felt that, you know, I needed to be like them and to be obsessed with numbers in the same way that my family was. And because I didn't share that value and was manifesting the disease of addiction in my own way, I just quickly took to hiding things. And so I hid food and hid the way that I ate. I did a lot of babysitting. And so was always, I felt like that was the most wonderful thing. Not only could I be alone in my eating, but I got to eat like strange new food that somebody else had cooked, or that my parents wouldn't buy those things because they were unhealthy. So I'll eat them over here. And, you know, just not realizing that that sense of isolation would become an absolute feature of my life moving forward. As I grew up and into my teenage and early 20s, my sort of like new favorite secret was that I was gay. And that became something that I had to hide from people too, and that I was ashamed of. And that was something that, you know, it was like getting a buddy for my eating addiction. It was like, now there were a couple things to like hide away with. I had my shame of my sexuality and my shame of my eating. So we got to like hide in the closet. And, you know, as I came out, some of that got better, but, you know, ultimately, again, my disease could use anything. Then my love relationships became sort of how I went up and down with the scale. I would fall in love with someone, and who cares about food? Like, I'm in love. I'm obsessed with this person, and I can, you know, just think about them nonstop. And so now I don't have to think about the food all the time, but inevitably we would move in together. Things would even out. And the food would say, well, what about me? And I would go back to the food, and then lo and behold, problems in our relationship would start. I would blame all of our problems on that person for whatever reason. Sometimes it was addiction. Sometimes it was, you know, God only knows. I can call my problems someone else's problems, no matter what they are. But looking back and what the steps have shown me is that all along, the food was the feature of like what was keeping me company while I was blaming other people for my problems, while I was saying that you are the reason that my life is unmanageable. There was like, you know, a buffet, a grazing, you know, a full day of grazing. And so anyway, I finally found my way into the rooms and got to take a good hard look at all of this stuff. And, you know, I don't think anyone's going to say that the steps are easy. There were a lot of things, you know, there was a lot of guilt and a lot of shame that I had mm-hmm. to just sit with and confront. And yet the new higher power that was sort of with me while I did all of that reckoning and being able to come into a room where to have shame about food, to have shame about relationships, to have guilt about the things that I had done or not done, was absolutely, I mean, it's the water we swim in. It's the air we breathe. Of course, we're human. We're all just making mistakes. And yet we're given this amazing program and these steps to work that can help us deal with that and come together. And so that is, you know, what has really saved me is that I can look back. I can face my past and not think of it as this yoke or this burden that I have to carry all by myself, or that I have to carry as penance for the things that I did, that I can leave it behind. Which, you know, to me, that is sort of the heart of step 6 and 7, is that we get to sort of, you know, through the middle steps, we get to identify all of this harm that we've done, identify character defects, and then hand them over, and let our higher power do with them whatever. And, you know, I pick them up. I would say that even though in a lot of ways, I would say that I have continuous abstinence from that first day that I got abstinent. My abstinence has changed a lot over time. There have been times where it's been kind of obnoxiously strict. And
5 minutes, gentle reminder.
Great. Thank you so much, Claire. And then I have had opportunities to sort of gently add things back and change my abstinence. But, you know, I've done it in concert with other members and with a sponsor. I've been able to just hear my higher power through all of you and through a sponsor and through the steps. And so I've gotten to have an abstinence that grows and changes with me, but that still keeps me surrendered. There's, you know, it's not, even though I have had those fleeting thoughts that maybe I'm not so bad. Maybe I'm not quite, you know, the addict that I have clearly demonstrated myself to be. Maybe now that's over and, you know, moving forward, I don't need quite so much structure. But, you know, the wobbles and the weird days that have happened in these intervening sort of 3.5 years have shown me that, no, I'm an addict through and through. When I am not in the food, that obsession can be other things. I've obsessed about money. I've obsessed about other people. I've obsessed about the steps and whether or not I'm doing them correctly. I can obsess. That's never going to be something that's not available to me. But now that I have been here long enough, I can see now that there are little things that tell me, hello, obsession is in the room. And now would be a good time to hand it over. And so that is what I try to do. You know, I start my day with the third step prayer. I often rattle off the serenity prayer throughout the day. I often rattle off the seventh step prayer. I love that one. I'm trying to pray all day long. I try to get in at least one meditation. I have a great sponsor that will often talk with me as I walk home from work. And it's the support of this fellowship too, this OA Footsteps and this 5 a.m. fellowship that has been just absolutely fundamental to my recovery. And I'm just so incredibly grateful for it. You know, life has changed a lot since I first started coming to the rooms. You know, the lockdown isn't nearly as severe. I work a lot more than I did when I first started coming into the rooms. But it's such a wonderful thing to know that these 12 steps don't
work. Okay.
Thank you so much. And I'll wrap up. These 12 steps don't go anywhere. This fellowship doesn't go anywhere. My higher power is everywhere, and it's in all of you. So I'm hopeful that something in there was, I don't know, understandable. But anyway, I'm very grateful to this group, especially. I'm very grateful to all of you. Thank you again for letting me come to share today. And I can't wait to hear all of you. Thanks a lot.